Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. Hope everybody's having a decent week so far. I think today we're headed back to the elections and related stories because that's what's driving the news today. But before we do that, I just want to mention Cuba for a couple of minutes. Now, in my last podcast, I talked about people reaching a tipping point where they endure and endure something for a long time, and then suddenly something happens, a switch is thrown, and people have had enough and there's a reaction. It doesn't have to be an actual event, but something changes. So we saw that in Cuba the other day. One day, Cuba's normal, we're not hearing anything about them. The next day, thousands and thousands of Cubans are on the streets protesting the government, chanting Libertad, freedom, also waving the American flag, I might add, which is, I don't know, kind of ironic, kind of funny, considering the current leadership we have is a lot more like the Cuban government than a typical American government right now. This was an anti-communist, anti-government, an anti-tyranny protest, but the Biden administration tried to play it off and, you know, sound supportive without actually really saying anything or truly standing with the people who are now being arrested. They're being beaten, they're being detained, including journalists. Journalists are out there just trying to do their job, cover the story. They're rounded up, thrown in jail. Here's some words from our dear leader. "We stand with the Cuban people and their clarion call for freedom and relief from the tragic grip of the pandemic and from the decades of repression and economic suffering to which they have been subjected by Cuba's authoritarian regime." Clarion call for freedom. Anybody think that Biden would say that ever in his life? And he mentions COVID first. That's not what this is about. Decades of repression and economic suffering, he says, kind of like what would happen if Democrats continue to run this country, right? Exactly the same thing. But here he is up there making it sound like this is something completely removed from American politics right now. "The Cuban people are bravely asserting fundamental and universal rights. Those rights, including the right of peaceful protest and the right to freely determine their own future, must be respected." Now that is rich. Their right to peacefully protest. Here in America, if you're the right skin color and you're the right political affiliation, you can burn down half of a city. You can shoot people. The FBI, they'll cheer you on. But if you're let into the Capitol by police, by the FBI, and you wave American flags and you stand there talking to police officers calmly and everything else, you're detained without bail for months and months and months like you're a political prisoner. Now, here's where I want to vomit. I sometimes wish I was God for just 5 minutes. Biden says their right to freely determine their own future must be respected. This from the guy whose party released a virus on the world to take out Donald Trump, keep globalism going so the central banks could reset their economy. They got their own digital currency coming, right? So they could steal the election. A guy who couldn't get 20 people to a rally during the election is about to be proven a complete fraud and a treasonous one at that. He wants the Cubans' rights to freely determine their future to be respected. It's like we're living in Wonderland here. "The United States calls on the Cuban regime to hear their people and serve their needs at this vital moment rather than enriching themselves." Can you believe this? I mean, hear their people? Oh, I think you'll be hearing from the American people pretty soon. I wonder if Joe is going to listen, right? Can you imagine that a guy who has spent his entire political career enriching himself, enriching his family to the point where the hashtag Biden crime family is popular? We're sitting here watching his inept crack-smoking son selling art anonymously for an upwards of $500,000 and more, right? We're supposed to believe that people want to pay that for his art. Like that's not a money laundering scam. And he's sitting here saying that the Cuban regime should work for the people rather than enriching themselves. You've got to be kidding me. Now, people were a little incredulous whether this statement came from our kid sniffer in chief, and circle back Saki in her bright blue little suit again had this to say. Ready for this? The statement we put out in the president's name this morning, in his voice, of course. I don't know about you, but that puts it to bed for me, right? I'm convinced. Absolutely, that was Joe Biden. Just ridiculous. All right, so back to the election. Let's start with Texas. So you've all heard about the fleeing Democrats, right? Texas was going to hold an election integrity vote to pass some new laws, making it harder for these low-life Democrats to cheat, right? And since they knew the Republicans had the votes to pass it, they bolted. Because you need, for this quorum, for this special session, you need at least two-thirds of the members of the House in Texas to have a vote, to actually do the vote. And there's enough Democrats where if you remove all of them, you don't quite have that two-thirds, right? So they decided to leave. So let's go through some articles, update you on all this, and then I'll give you my two cents on this whole thing. Gateway Pundit article. The Texas House of Representatives on Tuesday voted to send law enforcement to arrest the Democrat lawmakers for fleeing the state and blocking the GOP from passing voting laws. The chamber approved asking law enforcement to arrest Democrats who walked out around to regain a quorum. Democrats also face other penalties like losing leadership roles. Earlier Tuesday morning, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said that the Democrat lawmakers who left the state to impede the Republican quorum to convene a special legislative session on an election reform bill will be arrested when they return. If these people want to be hanging out wherever they're hanging out on this taxpayer-paid junket, they're going to have to be prepared to do it for well over a year. As soon as they come back in the state of Texas, they will be arrested. They will be cabined inside the Texas Capitol until they get their job done. At least 58 Democrat members of the State House of Representatives fled Texas and headed to Washington, D.C. to block Republicans from advancing new voting laws through a special session of the legislature. The new bills, House Bill 3 and Senate Bill 1, will add new ID requirements for mail-in voting and ban some early voting. Floor votes on both bills were expected to take place this week, but Democrats are fleeing in private jets to block the measures. The Democrats took a private plane, something most of their constituents can only dream of. How brave of them. The Democrats brought their own booze, another perk for the elitist lawmakers. And the Democrats are all maskless, something every American must wear on the plane. Yeah, and take a look at the photos, right? Especially the one holding the phone for the group selfie, right? Typical Democrat woman. All of them, plain load of women with a couple of beta males in the back, probably voluntarily taking their seats in the back of the plane so that they can give these strong, brave Democrat women center stage where they belong, right? Now, in an update to the story, one of these esteemed high IQ Democrats found a microphone as soon as they landed in D.C. and said that they were being held hostage. Again with the hostage nonsense. Remember that from the Obama administration? Texas House Democrat Sinfronia Thompson was one of the dozens of lawmakers who fled her state, and now she's playing the victim and absurdly comparing staying in the chamber and doing the job she was elected to do to being a hostage. "I'm up here because I don't plan to be a sitting person in that legislature," Thompson said. "I'm not going to be a hostage." So basically, if Democrats have the votes for a law that they want passed, they show up to do their job and they vote. If, however, Republicans win the day and they have the votes to pass a law, now showing up on the losing side and having to vote no and losing that battle is, you know, knowing that that law is going to pass anyway, now that's being held hostage. So if people are with you, you do your job and you're a representative of the people. If you lose, you're a hostage. I wonder, you know, when Democrats pass bills, when they have the majority vote, when they've got a law that they want to pass and they've got the votes for it, do they consider the Republicans who show up to vote anyway, even though they know that they're going to lose, do they consider those Republicans to be hostages? Have you ever heard them call them hostages? I mean, this woman is a liar. She's immoral. She's completely morally bankrupt. Right, to the point of being satanic at this point. This is a complete dereliction of duty. It's fraud. It's ignoring the fact that you're a public servant elected to represent voters. It's not your own personal soapbox. An arrest is the least of what should happen to these people. Here's the issue I have with all this. First of all, Let's start at the beginning of this. The Republicans should be eliminating not only all of the COVID-era nonsense from the voting laws, but adding as many safeguards as possible to literally make it impossible to cheat going forward. Impossible. What do we do instead? We let the Democrats in Texas hammer them down to the compromise of some voter ID requirements for mail-in voting, banning some early voting, and I think getting rid of the drop boxes. Oh, that's really comprehensive reform, right? That's really going to safeguard the elections completely. Basically, they let the Democrats wear them down until the bill barely scratches the surface of what it needs to do. And then when they say, all right, we're ready to vote on it, the Democrats turn around, scream, stamp their feet, and say that this is tyranny and suppression of freedom, and they take off in a private jet with beer. So, what was the compromise for? If this is what you're going to get out of Democrats, and you have the votes for voter reform, then get voter reform. Get the maximum amount of security that you can. Democrats are going to act like this whether you put 100 things into the bill or you put one. They don't want any of it. Any form of election security makes it harder for them to cheat, and cheating on a grand scale is now the only way that Democrats can win an election. So great, now they're away, right? Abbott says he's going to call for special sessions all year if he has to. So suppose the Democrats come back, they're forced back, etc., they get arrested. Now they're a hero to the lib millennial idiots who live in Austin, right? And all the rest of the lib media around the country. Look at their bravery, their sacrifice. You know, Republicans once again have allowed the Democrats to control the narrative. Now, I know that also this is being looked at all over the country by a lot of people, that there is a lot of scorn against the Democrats, right? You know, we're looking at them, we're looking at the way that they flew these private jets and that they're on taxpayer dollars and it's a dereliction of duty and everything else. But you compare our outrage to the narrative being formed by the mainstream media, and it's still, unfortunately, most of the narrative is in their control. I mean, the actual truth is painfully stupid and childish what they're doing, but that's not the way that this is going to be, you know, shaped. What they say out loud that they're fighting to protect is exactly what the Republicans are actually doing. But we don't point that out, and the media takes it and spins it to a complete 180 of what the truth actually is. Also, someone please explain to me how hopping on a jet and fleeing to Washington, D.C. doesn't lose you your elected office. This isn't a private job. This isn't a private company. This is public office. In fact, this wouldn't even fly in a private company either. Imagine you're like the creative team or an internet marketing team or something like that on a company, and you've got a deadline to get a catalog out or a fall launch or whatever it is, a huge project. And you all decide, now we're going to go to Hawaii. See ya. We're all boarding a plane. We're going to go to Hawaii for a while. All right. Those people would be fired immediately. How and why is it possible for one party to flee the state to get out of doing their job that they've been elected to do? They're supposed to be servants of the people. How do they not face losing their elected position? And quite frankly, now that these Democrats have come, you know, have to come back at some point, and they have to vote at some point, if I'm the Republicans right now, I rewrite this law. I do it tonight. I make it 100 times worse for them that they could ever imagine. You know, okay, we played your way. We compromised. We watered down our bill, made it more attractive for your side, and now you pull the stunt. Well, now the bill is this, and we still have the votes for it. Oh, and by the way, we added a little law in there that if you leave the state to get out of doing your job, you lose your public office. Now, would a Republican ever fight back like that? No. The best we're going to see is them coming back, being arrested, which makes them heroes in the low information, not that bright Democrat world. And we get a terribly watered down voting security bill that should have been 100 times stronger. Now, if you want to hear from the most ridiculous person in any room, heels up Kamala compared the Democrats who walked out to those in the past who fought and died for their right to vote at all. Again, using the media and the knowledge that her Democrat base haven't a clue about anything, she's trying to frame the narrative here in this bit of nonsense. You ready for this? I applaud them standing for the rights of all Americans and all Texans to express their voice through their vote, unencumbered, Harris said during a Monday appearance at the TCF Center in Detroit, Michigan. You notice that Kamala and Biden are appearing in all of these places where the vote is questioned. They're going to all these swing states and they're going to the cities where they cheated the most. Here she is in Detroit today, Biden's in Philly. I will say that they are leaders who are marching in the path that so many others before them did when they fought and many died for our right to vote, she stated, seemingly advancing the false left-wing narrative that Republicans are attempting to take away the right to vote by pursuing basic election integrity safeguards, such as enhanced ID requirements to vote by mail, something that was in Senate Bill 7, which Texas Democrats quashed in May by staging a walkout. Now, if they already did this in May, why would the Republicans make any concessions? If they have the vote to get voter ID, voter security passed, and they have the majority vote, why would you give anything to the Democrats when they've already walked out in the past? Why did you not see it coming that they were going to do it again? And my question is, how are these laws making voting cumbersome? Voting was never thought of as being cumbersome in the past, not even by Democrats, right? Not even when you had election day and not election season like we have now. You had one day to vote, and it was paper ballots, mostly. And if you did vote by mail, it was an absentee ballot, you were away for a good reason, and there was a chain of custody. That was all fine by Democrats. But now that Trump trounced their candidate probably by twice the votes, and they don't stand a chance of ever winning another election unless they continue the mass fraud, the mass mail-in ballots, and voting machines and all that, they don't want any election integrity laws. I mean, imagine what they've been doing, right? Imagine saying that showing your ID is racist. Biden all year has been basically calling black people stupid. He's been saying that they would have difficulty getting a photo ID, that they don't know how to use the internet, that black people don't know how to use a computer. It would be hard for them to figure out how to do it. I mean, he said this out loud, and black people still support him. Someone please, please show me a black person that can't figure out how to get a photo ID. I beg you. You can't do it. The racism behind the Democrat argument is out of this world. It's out of this world. You need a photo ID to do anything in this country. Yet having a photo voter ID is racist? Come on. All right, let's move over to Georgia. Gateway Pundit headline, breaking. Voter Georgia releases explosive new report. Fulton County, Georgia recount included 60% error reporting rate, thousands of fraudulent Biden votes. The Voter Integrity Group found that the Fulton County, Georgia recount included a 60% error reporting rate. Petitioners in a lawsuit organized by Voter Georgia to inspect Fulton County ballots have added stunning claims in their amended complaint and provided new evidence from public records that show Fulton County's hand count audit of the November 3, 2020 election was riddled with massive errors and provable fraud. Most new allegations and evidence are based on a Voter Georgia data team's analysis of Fulton's November 2020 mail-in ballot images made public after petitioners won a court order on April 13th, and Voter Georgia lobbying efforts led the Georgia General Assembly to make all images public under open records requests beginning March 25th. The team's analysis revealed that 923 of 1,539 mail-in ballot batch files contained votes incorrectly reported in Fulton's official November 3, 2020 results. These inaccuracies are due to discrepancies in votes for Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and total vote cast compared to their reported audit totals for respective batches. Thus, the error reporting rate in Fulton's hand count audit is a whopping 60%. One type of error discovered involved duplicate results reporting for batches of ballots. The team found at least 36 batches of mail-in ballots with 4,255 total extra votes, were redundantly added into Fulton County audit results for the November election. These illicit votes included 3,390 extra votes for Joe Biden, 865 extra votes for Donald Trump, and 43 extra votes for Joe Jorgensen. That's the Libertarian. Now listen to this. But it is not simply a case of errors. The Voter Georgia team found 7 falsified audit tally sheets containing fabricated vote totals for their respective batches. For example, a batch containing 59 actual ballot images for Joe Biden, 42 for Donald Trump, and 0 for Joe Jorgensen was reported as 100 for Biden and 0 for Trump. The 7 batches of ballot images with 554 votes for Joe Biden, 140 votes for Donald Trump, and 11 for Joe Jorgensen had tally sheets in the audit falsified to show 850 votes for Biden, 0 for Trump, and 0 for Joe Jorgensen. Oh, isn't that nice? We'll just record these tallies as all for Biden, none for Trump. Nothing to see here, folks. Now you start understanding why Raffensperger and Kemp are so friggin' nervous. Fulton County failed to include over 100,000 tally sheets, including more than 50,000 from mail-in ballots, when the results were originally published from the full hand count audit conducted by the Office of the Secretary of State. Imagine an audit from the Secretary of State Raffensperger not being accurate, right? Those tally sheets remained missing until late February when the county supplemented their original audit results. Petitioners contend that Fulton County did not provide Dropbox transfer forms for at least 3 pickup days when obligated to do so via an open records request. Those missing forms are still needed to provide chain of custody proof of about 5,000 ballots. The Voter Georgia data team also found over 200 Fulton County mail-in ballot images containing votes not included in the hand count audit results for the November election. All these anomalies are now included in the Fulton County ballot inspection lawsuit as additional counts of how the equal protection and due process constitutional rights of Georgia voters were violated. As good as this seems, all right, as good as all this sounds, as many anomalies and falsifications and everything else that they found already, this is nothing. Nothing. This is going to force a full forensic audit like there was in Arizona. And think about this. Arizona, we know, is going to prove fraud, right? Pennsylvania is next. Mastriano is forcing a full Arizona Maricopa-style audit in Pennsylvania. Georgia now can't get out of this, all right? The scam is exposed. They're going to be forced to do it too. Those 3 states overturned the election in terms of electoral college votes, okay? Speaking of Pennsylvania, Joe Biden headed there today in a panic to try to get ahead of the full forensic audit that's going to take place that we just talked about, and the one that's going to show that he's a treasonous fraud. We know Trump was up over 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania late at night, where on any other year, they would have called it easily. Any network would have seen that and said Trump won. But now they knew what they had to cover. So over the next several days, the Democrats brought in truckloads of ballots. They barred the Republicans from witnessing the count, and they had Joe win by whatever it was, a little over 80,000, all right? Good luck with that on the audit. Here's some of what Plugs had to say. All told, more than 150 Americans exercised their right to vote, Biden said. Now that is a lot, 150 people. That is huge turnout. Listen to this now. No other election has ever been held under such scrutiny and high standards. The big lie is just that, a big lie. It's almost comical, isn't it, at this point? Like, who are they actually telling these lies to? I shudder to think sometimes that there are even Democrats alive dumb enough to believe this election was the most secure. And yeah, I bet they exist. I bet they exist in droves. I could go over the countless examples of how this election was not safe at all, but you know them all, right? Mail-ins, dead people, blocking windows so Republicans can't watch the count, machines hooked up to the internet. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This was the least secure election in history, which of course the Democrats try to gaslight you and say it's the most secure. Another lie from Biden today. He said the Supreme Court, among other courts, heard the challenges to the 2020 presidential election twice. Absolutely false. The Supreme Court denied to even hear the case because they're gutless, right? Kavanaugh probably weeping softly in his office. All the lower courts were Obama judges, and they also refused to hear any evidence. In any of those fraud cases brought to the courts shortly after the election, not a single one was heard. No evidence was presented. Now, Trump put out a great statement before Biden's arrival in Philadelphia, so I'm going to read that now to you from the Gateway Pundit. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Joe Biden is going to Pennsylvania today in a rush in order to stop the forensic audit that the Pennsylvania Republican Senate is in the process of doing. Philadelphia was a cesspool of corruption which will soon be revealed by the audit. Why are they so concerned that a president who never goes anywhere would hop onto beautiful Air Force One and head to Philadelphia if it were an honest election? Why not let the audit go forward and make everybody on both sides happy? The results will be the results, but they know it was not an honest election. Philadelphia is one of the most corrupt cities in the country, and so is Detroit, and so is Milwaukee, and so is Atlanta, and Pittsburgh, and Oakland, and Baltimore. Corruption has gone on for years, but in the 2020 presidential election scam with the mail-in ballots and the use of COVID to cheat, corruption reached new levels. Remember the poll watchers being thrown out, the windows being sealed so nobody could look in, the ballot drops, and all the other events that took place that changed so rapidly, the big Trump win on election night. Joe should go forward with this, with all of these audits. His visit is a joke. He doesn't need to visit. All he needs to do is let them do an audit and find out what happened. Who knows? Maybe they'll say the election was on the up and up, but many people would be shocked. Let the audit go forward like it is in Arizona, despite 107 Democrat lawyers trying to stop it and failing. Let the forensic audit go, Joe. Don't fight it. Show them how honest it was. Now, Trump's last line is brilliant, and it outlines why it's so easy to see the entire lie that the Democrats are putting out there that this election was the most secure in history. It's just absolute desperation on their part at this point. Everybody knows what a forensic audit is, and if you didn't before, you know, you saw in this podcast and all over the news the way that Joe Van Pulitzer had to inspect the ballots, all right? This wasn't just a recount. Recounts are nothing. Recounts, you know, you can have fraud and then you recount the fraud. This is a deep dive into the machines, the voter rolls, counting and recounting, but finding out which ballots are real and can be matched to actual voters and which aren't. And a deep analysis into the ballots themselves. How many were printed and filled out on machines instead of by hand? How many are without folds, which they need to have to be mailed in? On and on and on. And they are double, triple, quadruple checking everything under surveillance. Okay? So if this is the case, then these audits would prove, according to the Democrats, that Trump is a liar, that the Republicans are out of their minds, and that Joe Biden, the guy that couldn't get 20 people to a rally and who gets 300, 400, 500 people watching his speeches online, got 20 million more votes than Barack Obama. All right. Here is the Democrats' chance to prove that we're all liars. And here's their chance to literally sink us politically forever. And yet, they are fighting like their lives depended on it to stop the audits. And we all know why. Why not prove you won? And the fact that nobody shows up to see you or Kamala is just some fluke. Why not show that even though 30,000 people still show up to see Trump, or the entire UFC stadium erupts in chants of USA, USA when Trump is announced, that's all just some coincidence. Speaking of that was really pretty telling, all right? Nevada, which supposedly Biden won, had to win Vegas to win Nevada, right? That's the only place there's a population. Fight night, McGregor, Trump is announced, and a couple people start to boo, and then the whole place erupts in cheers and standing ovation and starts chanting USA. All right, there's a video I saw this morning. Mel Gibson was there, and there's a video of him saluting Trump as he walked by. It made me laugh. Fantastic, right? He's just basically at this point in his career telling Hollywood, kiss my ass. Now I'm going to read a part of an article from you from Wayne Root about the UFC thing that I thought was pretty good. I like when other people are totally fearless in their assessment of things, and this was definitely that. I'm not going to read the whole thing word for word because it's, you know, it's a little bit long. Parts of it I thought were good. Parts of it I thought weren't really important. And again, it's just nice to see people just call it like they see it. This is his article. I'd like to call the Democrat Party and the liberal mainstream media stupid. I'd like to call them morons. I'd like to call them incompetent, but I can't. They're actually cunning, brilliant, and pure evil. They hid the greatest Ponzi scheme and first ever $1 trillion scam in the world history, Obamacare. They covered up the fact that the DNC and the Democrat Party rigged and stole the 2016 Democrat primary on behalf of Hillary Clinton. That's actually a great reminder right there. Bernie wasn't part of their plan, so they rigged the primary and handed it to Clinton. Stole an election from their own party and gave it to somebody else in their party. And nobody talks about that anymore, really. When Donald J. Trump won the 2016 election in a massive upset, they pulled off brilliant scams to slander and slow him with impeachment attempts built around Russian collusion that never happened, and a private and perfectly legal phone call between Trump and the president of Ukraine. The media buried the biggest story of corruption in America's history by making Hunter Biden's laptop that implicated Joe Biden in bribery scandals with both Ukraine and China just disappear. They covered up the rigged and stolen 2020 election. After they stole the election, they banned all mention of it. Now they're trying to ban all forensic audits. They're getting bolder, they're getting more reckless and corrupt by the day. So what does all this fraud and fake news have to do with a UFC fight? Everything. What happened Saturday night at the Conor McGregor UFC fight with the world watching is just more proof that the media is corrupt, evil, and diabolical. It's more proof they lie and scam about everything. It's more proof that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen. I was relaxing and watching Fight Night with friends at my Vegas home when suddenly my cell phone blew up. Hundreds of friends and fans let me know that former President Donald J. Trump had just walked into the T-Mobile Arena. Then they let me know he got the most remarkable standing ovation in the history of any championship fight night. The crowd loved him. The crowd roared in delight. Over 20,000 sports fans showed him what with love and chanted USA, USA, USA. But you'll never guess what the ESPN pay-per-view telecast showed the millions of viewers at home. Nothing. No mention was ever made of Trump's arriving, or walking into the arena, or being showered with the 20,000 people cheering and chanting USA. Not once during the entire fight card did any announcer mention that President Trump was sitting in the front row. ESPN erased Trump from the event like he was never there. ESPN made believe over 20,000 fans never serenaded Trump with cheers and chants of USA, USA. They made believe Trump wasn't sitting in the front row, even though millions of TV viewers could see him. They made believe Trump isn't the biggest celebrity in the world. They made believe he isn't beloved. They made believe none of this was significant, not even worth mentioning. And they did all of this right out in the open with the whole sports world watching. That says it all, folks. China didn't release the China flu pandemic from a military biowarfare lab. The 2020 election wasn't rigged and stolen. Trump never arrived at the UFC fight night in Vegas to one of the greatest celebrity ovations ever. Oh, and the check is in the mail. Now he goes on a little bit more, but you get the point, all right? Reality versus the Democrat lie. I've said podcast after podcast that for some odd reason, the Democrats sometimes act like we're living in the 1920s, like the internet doesn't exist, like cell phone cameras don't exist, like TikTok and YouTube and all these other sites are imagination. The entire population watched Democrats burn down cities in the summer of 2020, topple statues, shoot people, drag people from their cars, set buildings on fire, and the Democrats come out later and say, nah, it didn't happen. This disconnect from reality, that this living their entire existence in a lie, is why they will not win and why their crimes will not stand. The lowest information voter, I'm talking the person who is just tuned out of reality, who spends their entire day recording, you know, dance videos for TikTok, they might be fooled, but the majority aren't. The majority voted against them in droves. And the majority are coming back to claim what was stolen. On Bannon's report today, it's rumored that the Maricopa report could be given to the Arizona Senate within 10 days. I'm not holding anybody to that. It's rumor as far as I'm concerned until it actually happens. But lies this big don't stay hidden forever. I've been saying that since the election, and I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised very soon. It's obvious the public isn't fooled. And if we aren't fooled, the truth is going to spread. All right, that's it for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people who would like it, please share it with them. You can catch me over at Instagram at Conservative Roots Apparel. And I have an apparel website at conservativeroots.net. I will probably be back here on Friday. Tomorrow I'm going to be busy. Thursday I've got work to do. So I think we're looking at Friday for the next episode. So I'll hope to catch you then before the weekend. Until that time, have a great day, have a great week, and I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.